Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to say thank you for being here in attendance at Webster UMC, where God is good all the time.
All the time.
Amen. So let's start off with a few God sightings today. Who has some God sightings that they would like to share, or some announcements they would like to share this morning?
Well, yesterday the McGinnises came to our Big Rocks. The first time this season.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The McGinnises came and sat at our rocks.
Well, that's just the word
McGinnises. No, I really don't. Thank you for clarifying that. What is a McGinnises?
It's a duck. It's a water duck that dives, and they skip through the water like they're skating.
And that helped clarifies a lot. Thank you.
They entertained. They were out entertaining last time.
Well, yes, BJ.
It's the raccoon.
Yes, we had a raccoon that attended church this morning, and we were thankful because Diane was its savior and set it free. So we're trying to catch a groundhog. So we've got a groundhog who's decided that his kingdom is this garden out here, and he's been eating sweet potato vines and green bean vines and anything else that he just feels like it needs to take care of his palate. Do we have any other God sightings or announcements this morning? Okay, I actually have a few. We have 3 birthdays this month, and we're going to wait till the end of the month to celebrate those birthdays. It's Miss Fitz, Brittany, and my husband, Ken. So at the end of the month, we will have a big birthday cake, and we'll do all the birthdays at one time to celebrate God's life and how we're able to be able to share within that. I want to say thankful for Martha, who will be filling in for next Sunday. I'm so thankful that we have gifted people that can use those gifts here at Webster. And so thank you, Martha, for going to fill in for next week. And Ken has asked me to share this with you all. I'll try not to be too long, but about 2 months ago, Ken had a flare-up with his diverticuli, and we had sent him to the doctor. He went to the doctor, was supposed to get antibiotics, and they didn't really do as well as they should have, so we sent him back, and he went and got some more, and they did a blood test on to him. So later that day, we get a call from his doctor with no explanation except, we need you to show up at Mocino Cancer Center. And so we, of course, were concerned because, one, we didn't really have a lot of information given to us. So being the researcher that I am, I wanted answers that I was not receiving. So first thing I'll say is I am thankful for artificial intelligence when it is used in the right way. I found 3 AIs that done medical stuff. And so we submitted all of his blood work, and it actually narrowed it down and reassured us that it was not cancer. And so they gave us 2 possible pathways of what was going to happen with Ken and his blood work. Well, then Mocino calls and says, we need to take some blood off of you. You have too much. Okay, so taking that information, I also put that into the AI. And it still stayed true to what they thought it was going to be. So he finally showed up at Mocino, and he had a friend that walked with him through this, and that was Mike. It is important when the church walks with you and supports you in whatever you're going through that day. And Mike was with Ken at the same time. And we are thankful for that friendship. We're also thankful to Diane for sharing her husband with Ken for that day. And what I understand, they had a really good day. Both had doctor's appointments. and both went out to Moose Cafe and left the women behind and had a big meal in the process, which is great. Good news, right? But when he got in there, he found out, yes, the diagnosis of which we thought he was going to receive was actually true, which we were actually happy about. It's a blood disorder. It is very rare. There's only about 100,000 people in the world that actually has this disorder. And Ken, of course, is one of those people. It's ironic that this is so rare, but they actually have treatments and medicines that he can take with a life expectancy at least 20 years. And he says, 20 years from now, I hope I am not here. You know, he says, I hope I'm back in heaven and I'm seeing my family, but I will take what the good Lord has given me. So this is our God signing today, is that we are appreciative when a church can support each other and be there and understand that sometimes the medical community does not communicate as effectively as they should, which causes the anxiety and the frustrations in the case of nerves. It turned out this was something that could be maintained over his whole life. And so we are thankful to God and to the church for that. So I know I'm already preaching to you, but church is important when you're going through something. And to have that faith and to have that knowledge and to prepare for going in is crucial. Not just the physical, but for the emotional and spiritual well-being as well. So I want to say thank you. Now, if you hear us talking about it, now you know what is happening. And Ken has been eating like a little pig this weekend. We've got him on a new diet. So his diet is going to, of course, going to impact me, because that means now I will not be cooking two meals all the time, which means that we will be able to eat healthier together as well. So thank you. And that is my God signing for today. It's a big one, but you know, thank God, praise God, because from him all blessings do flow. So with that being said, do we have any other announcements or God sightings that we need to, did you have one, Ken?
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't going to say nothing, but I went to Missouri on Monday, and I think it's one time to, I don't have to go back for a year instead of 6 months, and don't have to get my blood work, so that was a positive thing. I'm like, you know, the first time I walked, I said, oh, where am I going? And that's like 6 months ago. It was nervous, a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I went back for a follow-up Monday. It was going proper, so I don't have to go like I have been going back in the year, so that's good.
It's all good.
They're really good up there, too.
So I want to reiterate, God is good all the time. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So that is my God sighting. Just some updated things in the bulletin. Next week is annual conference for the Methodist Church. And so I will be gone next weekend. Take it in as much as I can as far as the education and everything that they could provide me. We will have 3 summer concert series that we are definite on. That we'll have information. We have some information up here now about it, but the first one will be Ralph Murphy. He'll be here for the first week. We will have Banshee, which is a Celtic band, that will play in the second week. And then, of course, we will have the Front Porch Pickers. We're really looking forward to that. And that night, we will have a spaghetti fundraising dinner as well. $12 for adults. And children 10 and younger will be $8. The concert is free. The spaghetti dinner will help fringe the costs and the use of the church. If you're interested in helping, please reach out to Bonnie. She will be heading that out. If you want to cook a pot of spaghetti to contribute to the dinner, that will even be helpful as well. Okay, I think I have said more than enough of what I'm supposed to today, but anything else that needs to be said or lifted up real quick before we go into prayer? Okay, so let us go to God in prayer. Lord of all creation, we rejoice in your goodness and thank you for the gift of a new day. As we enter into your worship, we ask for your spirit to awaken our hearts and our minds, drawing us closer to you. May your truth shape our lives, and may your grace renew our spirits. Help us to honor you in all that we do and to share your love with each other and the world. And we dedicate this service to your glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. So I will ask that you please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 59 and read verses 15b through 21 as Diane brings us to focus upon the Lord. Into your hymnal, page 575, and we will do verses 1, 3, and 5. Onward, Christian soldiers. Please stand. Thank you. please turn to your hymnal to page 780. We will do Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult,
there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city which shall not be moved. God will help it at the dawn of day.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, God's voice resounds through the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth.
Who makes the war cease to the end of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields of fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world leaders of this present darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded up your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you could quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
Amen. So our message today for those who are joining us online is called Suit Up. Now I want to start this morning with something deeply spiritual. Something really ancient. Something that is profound. It's called getting dressed. Now, I know that don't sound like some sort of theological category, but if you think about it, most of us have already had a full conversation with ourselves this morning before we ever left the house. Some mornings, I wake up and I feel like I am ready to take on the world. Other mornings, like this morning where I'm having a little bit of congestion, I wake up and I feel like the world has already taken me on and it has won. That is the morning when I struggle just to get both of my legs in both sides of the pants and pray that I don't fall over in the process. Somewhere in between these two realities, there is this very practical question of, what am I going to wear today? Some people are planners. Their clothes are laid out the night before. There's coordinated colors and matching socks. And even my mother would have a matching purse to go along with all of this. And then there are others, like myself. We are called grace-dependent dressers. We stand in front of the closet and we pray for this divine intervention. Sometimes God sends it, and sometimes God says, good luck, you're on your own, right? But nobody leaves the house without getting dressed. Well, at least no one does this unless they don't want to be taken seriously in public. We won't mention the streakers that happens in the football games all the time. We understand instinctively that you don't walk into the day unprepared. Cup of coffee? Check. Car keys? Check. Driver's license? Check. Oh, do I have my pants on? Oh, yes. Check. We all try to enter each day prepared. And yet Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and says something that sounds just as practical and just as strange. Put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not the pieces we prefer, but all of it. Which raises the question that I really cannot avoid when I'm reading this passage. Why do Christians need to wear any kind of armor in the first place? How many have ever actually seen a true Roman soldier in his full, authentic outfit? Okay, that helped. One. Martha, I expected you would. And Ken, I know where yours is, where it's at. And we're going to go into that. So unless Paul is assuming something about life that we sometimes forget, that every ordinary day carries a spiritual weight, sometimes that we cannot see. Now this scene that we just read about, or Kent just read to us, it's happening around 60-62 AD, and Paul is writing these words from a prison, but it's not just a regular prison. It's a rented house, actually. It's not a dungeon. But he is chained to his Roman guard. So it means he's not going to get far. In other words, this is where you can hear he's on a short leash. He's not going to get too far being chained to his guard. And he's waiting. This is the first time he's been charged. And he's waiting trial before Caesar when he's writing about this armor of God in Ephesus. He has chains on his wrists. The guards are standing by, so he has some limited freedom. And from that place, notice this. He does not write about escape or revenge or even relief. He writes about standing. He says, be strong in the Lord and strength of his power. Not your strength, not your grit, not your personality. The strength that only comes from God alone. And then he says, put on the armor of God. It's almost as if he's looking at his Roman soldier standing there by and think, that right there, that's what the Christian life should look like in a spiritual form. Because we're not because we are called to fight people, although we're seeing a lot of that happening right now. We're not called to do that, but because we are living in a reality deeper than some people's ideas. Because Paul says something that if we really believe it would change most of our relationships. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, the person who frustrates you the most in life is not your enemy. The person who hurts you the most is not the enemy. And the person who disagrees with your theology or your political identity, they are not the enemy. The real struggle is deeper. It's about fear, division, temptation, despair, accusation, and the quiet internal battles that no one else can see that's happening in your life. And if I forget that, I will spend my life fighting the wrong battles with the wrong weapons and the wrong base of where all of this starts from. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. And I want to suggest what he is really saying is that before you step into your day, make sure you are dressed appropriately for the spiritual reality that is going to face you. Maybe it is going to be a spiritual battle with dark forces. You're also a warrior of the faith. Make sure that when you put on your shoes, when you walk out to carry God's word, you have that strong foundation. Most of us would never go to work without shoes. We would never go outside with something to cover us. We would never walk into the cold weather without preparing for it. And yet, we often walk into spiritual weather completely unprepared. Kind of like when you go to Walmart and you see people dressed in their PJs and flip-flops and there's snow all around the ground. They're not prepared for what they're fixing to face. Now, I know most of you do not think about this first item when you get up in the morning. Paul opens his closet of grace and he begins laying things out. So the first thing he lays out is a belt. Belt of truth. Living a life of honesty, embracing God's truth. And it fastens around your waist. Now, I know most of you don't wake up and you think about putting on a belt first thing. The belt was not a decoration, but it was a very important part of the Roman armory, of the armor. It held everything together. Without it, nothing stayed in place. So truth matters. And Paul says truth functions like that in the Christian life. Not truth as an opinion, not truth as a preference, truth as a reality anchored in God. Now, I love this story. Buddha, used to tell a story about how people could perceive half-truths. And it goes like this. There was a group of blind men who were brought to an elephant, and they're asked to describe what is an elephant. And each man touches a different part of the elephant. One touches the trunk and says, well, an elephant is like a snake. Okay, well, that's his perception. One touches the leg and says, no, an elephant is like a tree. One touches the side and says, you're both wrong. An elephant is like a wall. And one touches the tusk and says, it's sharp and it's smooth. So an elephant is like a spear. And then one touches the tail and says, you know, an elephant is like a rope. And then they begin to argue, each insisting that he alone is right. But of course, each man is touching only part of the truth. So Buddha uses this short story to show how people grasp only a portion of reality, only part of the truth. And when we cling to our partial understanding as if it was the whole truth, that's where these arguments start, because they don't see the whole truth. Arguments rise not because anyone is fully wrong, but because no one sees the full picture. It's only part of the truth. We see this with these detective shows. Tell me what you saw, ma'am. And then they go to the next, what did you see, sir? And by the time they get down the other six or seven people, each one has saw something differently. Somewhere in there is truth. Arguments arise because they forget about one important thing, humility. Sometimes we fail to see the truth because of our own humility. And humility is this gentle warning against what we call dogmatism. Everyone understand the word dogmatism in this aspect? If not, I'll go ahead and explain it. Dogmatism is to stubbornly assert personal opinions or beliefs as the absolute truth, without considering that there might be evidence and perspectives of other stuff that has happened. How many remembers Lily Tomlin playing Edith Ann, the little 5.5-year-old girl? She's an actress, and she's in this oversized rocking chair. And she wants to tell a story about what she has done or seen or what has happened to her. And she doesn't care what anyone else believes. She's a 5.5-year-old child, and this is the truth for her in this situation. And so she will tell all of this, her dogma, her understanding, and then she finishes it, and she does what they call a raspberry. And that's the truth. That's not always the truth, but for her, that is her truth. So why does this matter spiritually when we talk about truth? Paul calls us to wear the belt of truth because it's grounded in Christ, not just in our limited perspectives. Humility is essential to our own theology, ministry, and community life. And when we listen to others and we open our mind, it helps expand our understanding of God's work in the world. So if I don't fasten this belt, everything else starts kind of falling and dropping off. And I don't think it takes much imagination to see what is happening in real life. We wake up, before we even brush our teeth, we've already been preached by the word of the television set or our computer. We get news feeds and social media. We hear conversations, there's fears and assumptions. We even get text messages. Did you hear what happened over in Waynesville today? All of this is trying to define its reality for us. So I ask myself, before anything else, that gets stressed on me, what truth am I wearing today? Not what I feel, not what I fear, not what the loudest voice says, but what God says. Now then, we're going to get off the truth for just a few minutes. Paul moves to the guards and talks about the breastplate of righteousness, which guards the heart with God's goodness and integrity. And here is where the theology matters deeply. Because Paul does not say, put on your goodness. He does not say, put on your moral performance. He says, righteousness. So what is righteousness? It means to have good morals, be justified in your behavior, be genuine or authentic with each other. And that is important because most of us already know what it feels like to carry shame. At least some of us do. Shame is heavy. Shame sits on the chest like a weight that you just can't shrug off. And it whispers things that sound like truth, but are actually accusations. You should have done better. You're not enough. You have failed too many times. And if I try to answer that with my own record, I will always lose that argument. Because Paul says, my heart is covered not by performance, but by Christ's righteousness. That means when shame speaks, I don't argue from my past. I stand in Christ's present grace. Then he talks about shoes. And as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Now, I have learned something about shoes in life. The wrong shoes are going to ruin your whole day. They definitely will. You can be fully dressed, fully prepared, fully ready, but if your shoes are wrong, everything else is going to become harder for you throughout the day. Ask a woman who wears 5-inch pumps in an 8-hour workday all day standing on her feet. She is not going to have a good day. And Paul says the gospel gives us this solid footing. Peace is not softness. Peace is stability. It's the ability to stand where everything else around you is unstable. And I don't know about your world, but I see a lot of instability right now. People are quick to argue, quick to divide, quick to assume the worst, and never willing to listen. And it doesn't take much to turn a conversation these days into a conflict. But Paul says, wherever you go, let your feet be fitted with peace. Which means I do not walk into a room looking for a fight. I walk into rooms carrying the presence of Christ with me. Then he lists the shield of faith. And I think Paul is being very honest here because it does not say life will stop throwing things at you, because we know that life can be that way. He says faith is what absorbs what life throws at you. And sometimes those fiery darts are not dramatic. They're quiet. Worries that arrive at 2 a.m., thoughts that replay conversations, fears about the future, and regrets about the past. And faith is not pretending that those things don't exist. Faith is trusting that they do not get the final word in your life. Sometimes faith is not a shout. Sometimes it's just a quiet decision. God, I still trust you in this. A couple years ago, this is where Ken seen the Roman soldier. We were doing a live nativity. Now, y'all have met Rob. He's been here a couple times here at the church, and I was giving him a hard time at the last fifth Sunday scene. But he would always dress up in full Roman outfit. The shield, the sword, the breastplate, the feet, you name it, the helmet, he had it on. Now, one year, as he's walking up and down Bryson City with his sword, trying to advertise the living nativity, he comes over and he decides he's going to hang out with the kids because Rob really is a big kid. He loves kids. And he's sitting there, they're cooking s'mores, and he's sitting there and he's playing with the kids. And he gets a little too close to the fire. And guess what happens? His whole helmet of salvation blows up. He looks like a phoenix that has risen from the ashes because his whole helmet is now on fire and he is trying to get his ashes off. Now, it is hysterical at the time that it happened. Afterwards, we realized that this helmet protected him as well. So when Paul talks about this helmet of salvation, I think about Rob and his helmet on fire because it protected him from everything else from catching. But that's not what Paul really had to say about this. Some of us have these conversations in our heads all day long that we will never let anyone else speak to us out loud. And salvation is not just about eternity later. It's about your identity now. It's remembering that before anything else, before I am and what I do, what I achieve, and what I have failed, I still belong to Jesus. There is my identity. Then he goes on and he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I love that this is the only offensive piece to block, because it reminds me that Christian life is not passive. There are moments where truth has to be spoken, not just believed. And Jesus shows us this in the wilderness. He does not argue with temptation. He answers it with Scripture. Not because Scripture is a weapon of anger, but because Scripture is the clearest expression of our reality. And then Diane asked me about this. And then Paul says something here at the end of the passage. And it is our superpower. How many knows what this is? What is that? You, of course, you know what it is. You gave it to me. Yeah, so this is an oil can, right? The oil can is representative of prayer. What happened to the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz when it rained? What? He rusted. Why? Why did he rust? What tore down his armor where he could not move, right? He wasn't being maintained. He was not maintaining his armor. Very good. So when you have this oil can represents prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the oil to our armor. Prayer is like the WD-40 because it keeps things in our armor moving and keeps us responsive and effective. It keeps us going where we don't rust in our faith. Prayer is everything that stays connected to God's strength. Every morning I have to make a decision, not just what I'm going to wear on my body, but what will I carry with me spiritually. And Paul's invitation is simple, but it's not easy. Before I face the world, before I face another person, before I even fully face myself, I put on what God has already provided me, and I say a prayer every morning, every night, and throughout the day. I say a prayer because I don't want my armor rusting. I don't want it where it gets stiff and I can't move. I need that armor functional. I'm not going to step into the day unharmed. I'm not going to step into the day unarmed either. And I'm not stepping into the day trying to win a battle that Christ has already gone before me and has already won. I'm simply learning how to stand in what God has already given me. And I think that is what it means when I say getting dressed for the day. and wearing the armor of God, we have to understand it encompasses all of that. Amen. Now, I am going to give a chance. I skipped right over the intercessory prayers real quick. I apologize. If we do have a prayer that needs to be lifted up, please let me know, and we will go ahead and do that. If not, you can speak with me afterwards, and I will be glad to say a prayer with you after the service, if that is okay. So right now, I will ask that you please turn to page 717, one of my also favorite songs, the Battle Hymn of Republic, and we will sing verses 1 and 5. Please stand if you're able. Sustained by his presence and blessed to be a blessing to others. Amen.